unshakable. That's what God's children must be in these final days. Why he has given us the grace, and when you're filled with his grace, that's chariz, it's his gift, you've got nothing to shake about. Why? Nothing to worry about. Why? He's on the throne, and you're his servant. He watches over his own. Open your Bibles, if you would, to James chapter 1. Great book of James, chapter 1. And James chapter 1 reads, James, a servant of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ, to the 12 tribes which are scattered abroad, greeting. Now, naturally, this is written to the house of Israel, but at the same time, our Father wants you to know he widens that with the precious name of our Father. He widens it where it is all-inclusive, and we thank him for that. Verse 2, my brethren, count it all joy when you fall into divers temptations. Are you unshakable? Then you know you're on solid ground. You'll have people do strange things. You don't have to worry about it. God will always bless you. He will see you through. He will prosper you, and you'll do just fine. Temptations, when you have that gift with you, chariz, the grace of God, you got no problem. Why? He loves you. And when you return that love, you're all the more blessed. Knowing this, in verse 3, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. Father has a lot of patience he expects you to have. You know, that's something we people are a little bit short on. Is want it now, right now, and I can't wait. Well, yes, you can. We're going to do this according to God's schedule, not man's, okay? And he's still on the throne, and he's pulling the throttles, okay? Verse 4. But let patience have her perfect work. She will. That you may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. That and wanting nothing, that's why? Because you're unshakable. When you have him in you and you're in him, and you know through that temptation, anything that comes against you, you can handle it. You can cut it. Why? You're a child of God. Verse 5, if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God that giveth to all men liberally. That means generously. And upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. When you don't understand something, ask your Father for clarity. He'll give it to you. If you're earnest, and if you've done your homework, Father will always give you the answer. And it may not be to your satisfaction, but it will be the correct answer. Verse 6, but let him ask in faith, nothing wavering, not shaking, nothing shakable. For he that wavereth is like a wave of the sea driven with the wind and tossed. God can't handle somebody like that. That's a double-minded person. You can't waver. You can't shake. You either have to be for him, with him. When you ask for his blessings, then expect to be a servant of his. He'll love you, bless you, and you'll never regret it. There'll be temptations. Yeah, sure. That's just a sign that Satan's trying you. But you can cut it. You can still handle it. Unshakable. For let not that man think that he shall receive anything of the Lord. If you're tossed to and fro, do you know what a wave white cap is? You see it there and it's white and glistens, and when the wave goes down, there's nothing. Okay. That's what somebody like that is. Nothing. God cannot use them. A double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. You can count on it. God counts on it. He knows it, and that's a real sad situation. Be solid. Be not shakeable. Be shakeable only when God wants you to shake. And that's when he's correcting you. But otherwise, you're on the rock. You never shake. Let the brother of low degree rejoice in that he is exalted. That means when God answers your prayer, when God gives you that answer, then let it be for your edification. And let it be that you take that blessing. Verse 10. But the rich, in that he is made low, because as the flower of the grass he shall pass away. In other words, a rich man is going to die just like a poor man. It's when you give up the ghost, that's it. For the sun is no sooner risen with a burning heat, but it withereth the grass, and the flower thereof fadeth, and the grace of the fashion of it perisheth. So also shall the rich man fade away in all his ways. He can't buy his way out of it. So that shouldn't amount to anything to you. It shouldn't mean anything to you. Why? You're unshakable. If you are rich with God's blessings, don't wear it like a feather in your cap. Thank the Father and go on and get something done. If whom he gives much, he expects much. Verse 12, to complete our reading here. Blessed is the man that endureth temptation. For when he is tried, he shall receive the crown of life, which the Lord hath promised to them that love him. Now, I want you to go to the book of Ephesians now. Book of Ephesians. And we're going to go to chapter 3. In chapter 3 reads, verse 1, for this cause I, Paul, the prisoner of Jesus Christ, for you Gentiles, verse 2, if you have heard of the dispensation of the grace of God, which is given me to you, that grace of God is to be filled with it. That's a gift to share the ministry. But how did it happen? That's where you understand why Paul is unshakable. Well, Paul didn't care about the punishment. He could cut it. The hard time, cut it. Why? Because in Acts chapter 9, on the road to Damascus, God struck him down and he had a personal experience with the living God. If anything will make you unshakable, a visit from Almighty God will do it. When he shows you what must be done, how it must be done, and how it's to be carried forth. Same way with Paul. Why was he unshakable? Well, when it would seem most of the world was after him and that they were about to kill him, Jesus appeared again to him. He said, you don't have to worry, Paul. You're going to Rome. So there was no way they were going to destroy him in Judea or anywhere along the way. If Christ says you're going to Rome, you're going to Rome. So that makes you unshakable when God visits you and gives you a purpose. The dispensation is a ministry in the Greek term. A ministry that is to be delivered unshakably. Why? Because Christ himself touched that man. And he could withstand anything. Prison, beatings. God always saw him through. Why? He was unshakable. That's how it comes. And that grace, do you know what it is? That word is chris. It's a gift. It's where charisma comes from. It's a gift from God. And it comes from him when you ask. And when you seek it, that makes you unshakable. And you're going to need it in these times that are coming. Verse 3, how that by revelation he made known unto me the mystery as I wrote afore in few words. In Romans 16, he mentioned it briefly in passing. The real truth of God's message of what happened in the first earth age, why we're here now, and how it's going to be in the third earth age. Paul knew that ministry. Why? God gave it to him. Verse 4. Whereby, when you read, you may understand my knowledge in the mystery of Christ. Mystery hidden from the foundations of the world. Verse 5. When in other ages was not made known unto the sons of men, as it is now revealed unto his holy apostles and prophets by the Spirit. By what Spirit? By the Holy Spirit. Giving unction and wisdom when you ask for it. direction and leadership. Verse 6, that the Gentiles should be fellow heirs and of the same body and partakers promise in Christ by the gospel. Gospel, the good news. That good news that God brought to us, right, delivered directly by Christ to Paul, giving him that charis, that gift. Verse 7, whereof I was made a minister according to the gift of the grace of God given unto me by the effectual working of his power. Not mine, but God's power. And when God ordains one, and God's power is able to work there, it's going to be blessed. It's going to prosper. It's going to change lives. It's going to help people and cause them to be unshakable because they have that solid truth in a very troubled world. They have that destiny and a purpose. Verse 8, unto me who am less than the least of all saints is this grace given, that grace is again charis, that I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ. Unsearchable, unshakable, the truth of God's word, and to make all men see what is the fellowship of the mystery which from the beginning of the world hath been hid in God who created all things by Jesus Christ. And that mystery continues on. When you've seen the Son, you've seen the Father. And when you, the Son, of course, is God with us, whereby he can communicate with you or communicate with whomever he chooses to touch them, to accomplish what must be done, to bring to pass what is written. To the intent that now unto the principalities and powers in heavenly places might be known by the church the manifold wisdom of God. Where Satan is, where he's locked. Where is he in heaven? Behind Christ. Get behind me, Satan. Michael holding him until, as it is written in Revelation 12:7, he's cast out. Right back down here to earth. According, verse 11, according to the eternal purpose which he purposed in Christ Jesus our Lord. He has a plan. And when you're familiar with that plan, which was a mystery to many, it's not anymore. Verse 12, in whom we have boldness and access with confidence by the faith of him. That veil rent, whereby you don't have to have some man, some preacher, some priest between you and God. You can go right in, unshakable, to speak with him, to love him, to ask his blessings, to ask his wisdom. Verse 13, wherefore I desire that you faint not at my tribulations for you, which is your glory. Be encouraged, if anything. I mean, he was in prison. Okay, and he's still writing this beautiful letter. He said, don't let that bother you. I'm in good shape. I'm unshakable. I can cut it. Okay. Verse 14, for this cause I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. 15, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named. Why? Why? Well, why is it named? Because he created them. Created everyone, everywhere. 16, that he would grant you according to the riches of his glory to be strengthened with might by his spirit in the inner man. Do you need to be strengthened with that? Do you shake occasionally? Do they see you sweat on your first cruise? Then be filled with that and stand. Put on that gospel armor and you can stand boldly against the fiery darts of Satan that are about to come. Being in God, you're unshakable. When you're endowed with that spirit of truth that leads, that guides, that directs. How precious it is that God strengthens and grants his own. 17, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that you being rooted and grounded in love. That's the seal. That's the lock, is that you return that love to him. letting him know you're able, you're a servant, and that you love him. Verse 13, may be able to comprehend with all saints. That's the set aside ones. That's the ones that know the truth. That's the unshakables. What is the breadth and length and depth and height? 19, and to know the love of Christ, which passeth knowledge, that you might be filled with all the fullness of God, filled with His precious glory, okay, His mercy, that's to say His love. When you're filled with that, when He has touched you, you're unshakable. Why? You don't live so much on faith after that. It's reality, and you're living it. Verse 20, now unto him that is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think according to the power that worketh in us. So with God's power, anything is possible. Man, things are impossible. With God, nothing is impossible. 21, unto him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, the first, second, and the one to come. World without end, amen. And that is the mystery, is this world. It's three ages, hidden by many people. It's real sad that there are very few churches in this world today that teach all three earth ages. Keeping it, it's hidden to them. Hidden by what? The grace of God. And yet at the same time, when God is ready, through the Son and through the Holy Spirit, He touches and creates an unshakable group of people that love and follow Him, not by their power and might. That's where you would go down Primrose Lane. But by His power and might when it is instilled within you. You see, when you're delivered up, do you think it's you that speak? No. It is He that speaks, the Holy Spirit speaking through you. You can't take credit for that. But you can be a vessel unshakable because Christ calls forth that group. You know, at one time we offered burnt sacrifices, evening, the daily oblation, morning and evening. And God finally comes around and He says, hey, I don't want your burnt offerings. And as we go now to Hebrews chapter 10, Christ would say, lo, I come in the volume of the book. And He did come in the volume of the book. And in that volume of the book, He came. And in that word, the whole book, you have the truth. You have the letter that He has sent to you. And God Himself saw fit that inasmuch as He had created every soul, every child, for His pleasure, as it's written in the last verse of chapter 4 of the great book of Revelation, He saw fit to come in the image of the Son, Emmanuel, God with us, and to put a stop to the burnt animals and being perfect. He laid His life down whereby He could destroy the devil, which is death. Get him off of our back forever. Get him off of the people that are shakable. But He has a group that should be unshakable to get the job done. Okay. So He gave Himself a sin offering for one and all times. That's why it's hypocritical for anyone to think about a blood sacrifice anymore. Okay, because it's an insult to Christ and to God Himself. Because He did that for us. And we're going to pick it up here in the 10th chapter. You'll find in verse 7 where He says, lo, I come in the volume of the book. Verse 8, above when he said, sacrifice and offering and burnt offerings and offerings for sin, thou wouldest not. Neither hadest pleasure therein. God didn't appreciate that. I mean, he had no pleasure in it, which are offered by the law. Then said he, lo, I come to do thy will, O God, and he taketh away the first, that he may establish the second, by the which will we are sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once for all. That did it. That's all that's necessary. He did that for you. And every priest standeth daily ministering and offering oftentimes the same sacrifices, which can never take away sins. It won't do it. But do you know something? Now that he paid that price, and now that he's sitting at the right hand of God, when you ask him forgiveness, when you repent and go to him, he can forgive your sin and does. And through that same forgiveness and love becomes unshakability, meaning creating you and forming you into an entity that cannot be shaken by this world. Verse 12, but the man, that's to say Christ, after he had offered one sacrifice for sins forever, sat down at the right hand of God. From henceforth, expecting till his enemies be made his footstool. Who do you think is going to do that? The unshakable ones, of course. They have an obligation. They have a ministry. They have duties. It is to obey and listen to the Father. Lo, I come in the volume of the book. Study it. Read it. Absorb it. It's healthy. For by one offering he hath perfected forever them that are sanctified. Sanctified simply means set aside. Why? When you love him. Whereof the Holy Spirit also is a witness to us, for after that he had said before, this is the covenant that I will make with them after those days, saith the Lord. I will put my laws into their hearts, and in their minds will I write them. It's no biggie, they've got it. And their sins and iniquities will I remember no more. This is one reason why, you know, a lot of people will repent for something, and then they keep bringing it up. Repenting over and over. It's calling God a liar. You don't want to go there. He said, hey, when I forgive it, I don't want to hear about it again. Don't bring it up to me. Okay. It's gone. That's what makes you unshakable. When you know he touches you. Now, where remission of these is, there is no more offering for sin. 19. Having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holiest by the blood of Jesus. You can walk right in, unshakable, boldly, and say, Father, I'm here. Use me. I'm yours. Verse 20, by a new and living way, which he hath consecrated for us through the veil, knocked it down. That is to say, his flesh. He knocked that down and he became that sacrifice for one and all times. That you have that forgiveness. So don't mock it. Don't bring it up again. Once he's forgiven it, forget it. Other than the fact, don't do it again. Verse 21. And having an high priest over the house of God. 22. Let us draw near with a true heart and full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from all evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. That's to say the living water. That is to say the Lord Jesus Christ. Let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering. That means unshakable. Cannot be moved, for he is faithful that he promised. And let us consider one another to provoke or to help unto love to and to good works. That is to say, how? Through the Word of God. The Word of God strengthens everyone. The Word of God gives you that purpose and destiny in your life where you're not just going from one day to the next. But you have something to live for, unshakable. You know, many of us have faced strange things in life, death right in the face. And you know not to fear, but to overcome. And when Satan faces you, don't shake. You have power from him on high. It's his promise. You can count on it. It is as sure as you're sitting and as sure as you're listening right now. It is his promise that he will be with you. Let's go to chapter 12 in this same book, Hebrews. It begins with saying, hey, we're going to gather together like a great gathering of clouds, which simply means we're going to gather. As an unshakable group, we're going to gather in a large group. We are. Okay, it's growing and spreading all around the world. And we thank our Father for that. We cannot take credit for it, but the Word can. Because the Word is very effective in accomplishing what God would have it accomplish. But he goes on and he tells you that, he said, these little things pop up. Don't ever let it take root in your life. And even, he says in 16 of this 12th chapter, lest there be any fornicator or profane person as Esau, who for one morsel of meat sold his birthright. That word fornication there is a male prostitute. Don't sell yourself, okay? And then it goes on, and there was poor old Abel. And let's pick it up, if we may, in verse 24, as we complete this lecture. And to Jesus, the mediator of the new covenant, he's it. And to the blood of sprinkling, his, that speaketh better things than that of Abel. Abel's blood was sprinkled, and God said, I feel your brother's blood crying from the ground, and Cain was cursed. 25. See that you refuse not him that speaketh, for if they escape not who refused him that spake on earth, much more shall not we escape if we turn away from him that speaketh from heaven. That's to say, Almighty God through the Holy Spirit. This is why Paul was unshakable when God touched him and gave him his orders. Verse 26. Whose voice then shook the earth. But now he hath promised, saying yet once more, I shake not the earth only, but also heaven. You better be unshakable, beloved, because the great shaking is coming. It's a spiritual thing. He's going to shake old Lucifer right out of heaven. And you better know how to handle him. He's coming. And you better be unshakable. Verse 27. And this word, what? God's word. Yet once more signifieth the removing of those things that are shaken, as of things that are made, that those things which cannot be shaken may remain. If you're shaken, you're out of here. You're gone. So, you want to be unshaken in these end times. We're coming up to that time. And it is a beautiful thing to serve the living God. It's a beautiful thing to be touched by the living God. Well, how do I know for sure that I'm not going to be shaken? Well, where are you supposed to stand? On the rock. What rock is that? Christ. He is our rock. And when you stand on him, and he became this word, lo, he came in the volume of this book, you stay in it and stay on that rock, which is to say, on Christ, the truth, the word. It sets you free from all anxieties. You don't have to be shook up. You're a champion. You're a warrior for the living God. That shaking is coming. And in this generation, it is very important that you be unshakable, because those that have knowledge and are shaken, they're gone. It's unforgivable. So how precious it is to to know you're unshakable. He has touched your heart through the Holy Spirit, letting you know exactly how things are going down, releasing the mystery of the kingdom of God and how it consummates the end of this specific dispensation of time. What a precious time to live. Even the prophets wanted to live today to see these things come to pass. You do. And how precious it is. Verse 28, wherefore we receiving a kingdom which cannot be moved. It's unmovable, unshakable. Let us have grace whereby we, that grace again is charis. It's the love of God instilled within you that makes you unshakable. Without that love, I guarantee you, you can be shaken, my friend. You have to have His love in you, and you must love Him, or you can be shaken. That's what that charis is. Whereby we may serve God acceptably with reverence and godly fear. You're a useful servant. Why? 29, for God is a consuming fire. And certainly He is. That same consuming fire is the Holy Spirit that warms your heart when He touches you. But if you're one of the evil ones, it is a consuming fire. It simply consumes and does away with. Heavenly Father, thank You, Father, for the written word. Lo, the book that You came in. He came in, Father. Bless us with that knowledge as we seek that wisdom, Father. Be with us through this month coming up into Passover, Father, and bless everyone that travels to come to this place from many miles away to hear the living Word of God. Bless them and bless us as in this dispensation, this ministry of truth that we're able to deliver. In Jesus' precious name, amen.
The mark of the beast on seed.